A Jewish Journal article. Whitewashing FDR's abandonment of the Jews. President Franklin D. Roosevelt is widely remembered as a strong leader who boldly led America out of the Great Depression and to the brink of victory in World War II. Yet when it comes to the Holocaust, some defenders of FDR's record would like us to believe he was not responsible for keeping Jewish refugees out of America, that it was all the handiwork of the State Department, which supposedly ran U.S. immigration and foreign policy independently of the president's wishes. This is a disingenuous framing of FDR's legacy. Especially in a time like today, when immigration policy is a topic of so much interest, it's important to recognize that it is the president who makes the final decisions, not his appointees. Yet, in a recent speech at the University of Oklahoma, Professor Daniel Green continued to perpetuate the implausible notion that President Roosevelt was too hapless to make his own foreign policy. Remarkably, Green spoke for nearly an hour about America's response to Nazism and the Holocaust, yet barely mentioned the president. Green's tendentious approach is consistent with the theme of the controversial exhibit on Americans and the Holocaust at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, for which Green was senior curator. Many scholars have criticized the exhibit for downplaying President Roosevelt's abandonment of European Jewry. Green told his Oklahoma audience that the reason so few German Jews were admitted to the United States in the 1930s was because of bureaucratic walls put in place by the State Department, as if the White House had no occupant. What actually happened is that the State Department implemented Roosevelt's policy of restricting immigration far below what the existing law allowed. The annual quota of German immigrants, about 26,000, was filled only once in FDR's 12 years in office. In most of those years, it was less than 25% filled. There are letters from the president himself at the time, in which he acknowledged and defended the fact that visas were, as he put it, considerably under-issued. There are documents showing that State Department officials briefed the president on their efforts to keep refugees out in accordance with his policies. Equally troubling was Green's deeply flawed description of the American response to the Nazis' Kristallnacht pogrom in 1938. Green omitted any mention of the offer the governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands made to open his territory to Jewish refugees after the pogrom, which FDR rejected. The exhibit at the museum likewise fails to mention the Virgin Islands as a possible haven for refugees. The sad truth about FDR and Nazi Germany in the 1930s, which Green and the U.S. Holocaust Museum never mention, is that FDR consistently sought to maintain good relations with the Hitler regime prior to the war. Under President Roosevelt, the U.S. government warmly welcomed the swastika-bedecked German warships Karlsruhe and Emden, which Hitler sent to American ports in 1934-1936 to promote goodwill between the Third Reich and the United States. The warships visited American Atlantic, Pacific, and Gulf Coast ports at a time when Nazi Germany was emerging as a major military power. High-level U.S. military officials openly fraternized with the warships' officers, helping to legitimize Hitler's rearmament program, which put all of European Jewry in extreme danger. With the assistance of Roosevelt's State Department, the U.S. Navy even helped the Nazi warships improve their combat readiness. In numerous speeches to American business and civic groups, the German warships' officers aggressively promoted Nazism and Hitler's expansionist policies. The Roosevelt administration ignored fierce protests by American Jews and trade unionists against the Nazi warships' visits. The administration's policy helped Nazi Germany present itself as a respectable member of the Community of Nations, with many legitimate grievances. Green mentioned none of this, nor can it be found in the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum's exhibit. Hosting the Nazi warships was consistent with President Roosevelt's policy of maintaining cordial, sometimes even friendly, relations with the Nazi regime. From 1933 until the end of 1938, FDR never publicly criticized Hitler's persecution of German Jews. He never suspended diplomatic or trade relations with Nazi Germany before World War II. And at the same time that many Americans were boycotting German goods in the 1930s, the Roosevelt administration was helping the Hitler regime evade the boycott by allowing it to use deceptive labeling on their goods so that American consumers would not recognize their country of origin. Toward the end of his talk in Oklahoma, Green described how the Holocaust Museum's exhibit was intended especially for younger audiences, so he and his colleagues polled high school students in advance. Green said he was surprised when high school students didn't do well on the question of who was president in World War II. Sadly, neither the exhibit nor its roving spokesman is doing much to improve the situation. So long as they depict Roosevelt as the amazing vanishing president, who suddenly goes missing when the embarrassing abandonment of the Jews is discussed, how could high schoolers be expected to know any better? Dr. Raphael Medoff is founding director of the David S. Wyman Institute for Holocaust Studies. His most recent book is The Jews Should Keep Quiet, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Rabbi Stephen S. Wise, and the Holocaust. Dr. Stephen Norwood is professor of history and Judaic studies at the University of Oklahoma. His latest book, which is in press, is Prologue to Annihilation: Ordinary American and British Jews Challenge the Third Reich.